Yep.
There you go.
Now I'm on. Psalm 126. I did not do this consciously, but I March the 1st, early in the morning, I got my phone and I Googled Lester Roloff, and I started listening to the Honeybees, and somehow I hit another button and I went to Lester Roloff funeral preached by Jack Hiles. And I want to tell you something, if you've never heard that, you need to listen to that. That was awesome. I was crying. And I started listening to Jack Hiles' funeral, and I had to stop because I had to come up here and meet Pastor. And me and him went to Geneva to hand out tracts on the street, and it was 35 degrees, and there for a long time we was praying for it to be that warm. But I have to admit to you, I got chilled when we was out there, and I was ready to get in the car and go when we left. And we didn't stay as long as we normally stay, but there wasn't a whole lot of people out on the streets, you know, that morning. And then I got back home, and was it the next day that Billy Graham was buried? Was it the second? Anyway, I watched the very end of Billy Graham's funeral. And Franklin Graham question was, what if this was your funeral? Would you be in heaven today?
Yeah.
And that just got me, I think. And then I don't know why I was, I think it must have been God, because I was listening to all these great men of God's funeral at the same, around the same time. And then the guy that is in charge of, I had Debbie send this guy in Washington, who I wanted, the senator and the representative I wanted to talk to. And he had texted me back and said, are you bringing anybody else? And I just wrote him back, just me. And then I got to thinking, you know, the first thing you really need to worry about is, are you saved? Are you going to go to heaven? But then the next thing you need to know, worry about is, are you taking anybody with you? Because what if I get to heaven and it's just me? Alright, it's my turn to go to heaven, and who are you going to bring with you? Oh, I'm just coming by myself. And it sounds terrible, but there's a lot of Christians just grow a few days or a few weeks or maybe a few months and they stop growing. And you know, Lester Roloff, Jack Hiles, and Billy Graham, they got some crowns to lay at Jesus' feet. And there's a lot of Christians that's going to be up there with baby rattles laying at Jesus' feet because they didn't do too much for Jesus. They didn't do too much for God's kingdom. And the discussion's been all week long is, man, they were great men of God. What made them special? And, you know, God's not a respecter of persons. Amen. Any one of us could be the next Billy Graham. Any one of us could be a Lester Roloff. Any one of us could be a Jack Hiles. Not that person, per se, but do just as much as they did for God. There's only one Lester Roloff. There's only one Jack Hiles. And there's only one Billy Graham. And a lot of people try to emulate them, and they're not them. Lester Roloff said one time that they're talking about David going up against Goliath, and King Saul wanted him to fight in his armor. Well, King Saul should have put that armor on and fought Goliath in his own armor. He was the tallest one there. And he was the king. He was the one that's supposed to fight. But he wanted David to put on his armor. And there's a lot of people out in this world that want to be a Jack Hiles, but they'll never be another Jack Hiles. But you could do just as much for God that Jack Hiles did. So you need to be saved, but you also need to understand that we need to take people with us. God didn't get me saved just so for me to get saved. I was telling her friend the other day, yesterday, that we was talking, and I said, you know, God saved a drunk and an alcoholic like me so I could go out and talk to drunks and alcoholics and get them saved. And he used Freedom Village in a mighty way to get me to be able to do that. But there's still a lot of drunks and drug addicts out there that don't go to Freedom Village. There's a lot of people that have never drank and never drugged that if they don't get saved, they're going to hell.
Yeah.
And we meet people every day, and you're talking about it's kind of hard to give a track away sometimes. It is sometimes, because we're not used to it. Our flesh doesn't want to do it, because then we may have to sit there and talk to that person. And all we want to do is hurry up and get home and turn the TV on, hurry and go eat, do whatever we need to do. And it's our own thing. It's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to be an ambassador to Him. Psalm 126. I love this psalm because when I got saved, the Lord turned my captivity. Man, I was like them that dreamed again. But I want to focus on verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5 says, They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this time. Lord, that you would give me the word you want me to speak. Lord, that we could learn something tonight and apply it to our lives. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in verse 6 that he that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, I've only been saved since 2006. In April, I'll be saved 12 years. I got some sheaves that I'm going to be able to take. I'm not going to heaven alone. God has been able to use my testimony to help others. What he did for me, he did for them. So I have a few people that I'm going to, when I get to heaven, I have a small part in them being in heaven. You know what? I should have a lot more. I got to thinking of what made those three men great. Why did they do such great things for God? They didn't go to the same school. They didn't grow up in the same town. With what they did, it was they dedicated their life to God. And they loved God. Not only did they preach about God in a fabulous way, but they lived their life just like they preached. I want you to, you don't have to turn there, just listen, and I'll do these verses. John 17:16, this is the Lord's Prayer. This is what Jesus prayed to God for all of us, for his disciples and all of us. But in verse 16 it says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. My question is, are you of the world? Because I tell you what, most Christians are on this side. They got one side of the fence, they're in the world. And on this side of the fence, they're in heaven. But they won't figure out which side they want to really be on. Verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify means set apart. These three men were set apart. They didn't care about the world. They didn't care what the world told them. Lester Roloff, they said that if he wasn't in a fight, he'd make up one. Because he was just on fire for God all the time. And it didn't matter what the world said, didn't matter what the government said, didn't matter what anybody said. He was going to speak truth. He spoke about this book. In fact, Lester Roloff didn't have too much good to say about Billy Graham when Billy Graham endorsed the New King James Version Bible. There's a lot of people that kind of split over that. The old-timey preacher says that's not right. And you know what? I believe they was right. It ain't right. They were set apart. They wasn't of this world. They didn't care about the worldly things. How's that in our lives? Are we truly dedicated to God? Because there's a lot of times, I hate to say this, but I hate to admit it, but it's true. There's a lot of times where I just want to leave the church service and go home, sit down. I don't know what it is about Sunday morning, but we even got we even slept in a little bit this morning. But after church, all I want to do is run back and lay down, or sit down in my chair. I want to take my suit off, get in some comfortable clothes, and sit in my chair. I don't think that was Lester Jacks or Billy Graham's thought. I don't think that was their thought process. I think that maybe they, if they was as young as I was, they'd probably like to go out and knock on doors and around here and ask people why they wasn't in church. Or did they really know the Lord, or was just going over there to have a good time, to fellowship? Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Are we really seeking God, and we really seeking the lost? Because, see, we sang some songs just a while ago. I think that's not by mistake. I think the Holy Spirit was doing that, just like the Holy Spirit was making me listen to these funerals of these great men. That Jesus came down here to seek and to save that which was lost. I don't know about y'all, but somebody told me about Jesus. Amen. Somebody gave me a Bible. Are we doing the same thing for the lost? You know, I've got family members that I've never told anything about Jesus to. I told them I loved them, told them I got saved and everything, but I never told them about Jesus, how to get saved. You know, one day, if they don't get saved, one day I'm going to get to see them brought up out of hell. You see, these three guys, these three men of God, they were worried about souls. They was worried about if somebody was going to heaven or if somebody was going to hell. Philippians 2:21 says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." Paul's writing this to the church. He's not writing this to the heathen. And he's saying, you know what? I don't have anybody like-minded except this young man Timothy. Everybody else, Titus, all of them's left. All of them doing their own thing, and nobody's worried about the souls. Nobody's worried about going and starting another church. Nobody's worried about doing all this stuff. They're all seeking their own. That's me a lot of times. I'm seeking my own. I've got these things in this world that I'm worried about. I've got these things in this world that I care about. You see, I'm on the fence sometimes. When it was warm and me and Pastor was first going over there, I didn't care if it was warm, cold or not, man. I was wanting to go over there and tell people about Jesus. But see, that was our first time this year of going over there. We've kind of got away from it. When there's a lot of snow and very, very bitter cold, there's not too many people that you could talk to over there. So we're out of practice. How's our practice? You know, I was at Walmart today, and I made it a point to say hello, how you doing to this person every time I'm there. And he walked by today, and he goes, "You know, it's my fault. I made it get cold, just like you said, because the last time I was there, I said, now it's warmed up. You don't make it get cold again." And he goes, "It's my fault. You know, I had a track in my pocket, but I didn't hand it to him. I was worried about what I was doing. So what are we seeking? Are we really seeking the lost? Are we really praying for people to get saved? You know, it's one thing to pray for them to get saved. It's another thing to say, hey, you know what? I got to tell you the story. I don't know. I didn't tell this gentleman yesterday how to get saved, but I told him when I got saved what God did for me. I told him how I was before I got saved, and he's a state trooper. He said, "That's an awesome story. I'm glad you shared that with me." But I should have said a little bit more. I said, "You know what? Are you saved? Are you born again?" The Bible's very clear on how to get born again. the story from Billy Graham is no matter who he was around, he told the story. If it didn't matter if it was a king, a president, or some person on the street, Billy Graham told the story. I'll guarantee you Jack Hiles told the story. And so did Lester Olof. They all three told the story. They all three dedicated their lives to God. They all did what God wanted them to do. Were they perfect? No. Did they mess up? Absolutely. But they told the story. It's not up to us to figure out, or it's not up to us if that person gets saved or not. It's up to us to tell the story. It's up to us to seek the lost. There's a lot of people on this road right here that I walk by every day that are lost. Am I really engaged in their lives? Or am I engaged in my life doing what I want to do? I want you to look at Psalm 126 verse 6 one more time. It says, "He that goeth forth." It doesn't say that he that gets saved and prays for people. It says, "He that goeth forth." He that goeth forth. That means somebody's going out and doing something. You know, I've been praying for a lot of people in my family to get saved. No, I can't save them, but I can tell them about Jesus. Go over to Matthew 28, please. This is Jesus and his commission, not only to the disciples, that anybody's going to be a disciple after him. Verse 19, it says, "Go ye therefore." Did you know go is an action? It's a verb, and it's an action verb. It means you got to do something. I don't know how a Calvinist could think that everybody's going to get saved. It's going to get saved. They're all elected. Well, who told them? If they're saved, who told them about Jesus? Because somebody had to go. All throughout my life, I've told you the story of me looking back and seeing that God wanted me to get saved at a younger age. And people that he put in my life that went and told me about Jesus. What if the person that God wanted to get us saved by said, "No, I'm not going"? What if the person said, "It's too cold out, I'm going to go in"? What if he said, "My favorite TV show's on and I haven't watched Fox News in a long time. I'm going to go watch Fox News"? Or, "Hey, I'm busy right now. If you'd have caught me at a better time, then I'd have told you about Jesus, but I'm trying to figure this out." Or, "Man, I just want to get home. I'm tired. I really don't have time for you." What if all those excuses that all of us have was the excuse that somebody gave them when we were supposed to hear the gospel? You know, when I first got, my cousin bought me that Bible. I've had Bible before. I was in church when I was little. Can I tell you something? I looked at that Bible and said, "This is not what I need." I thought to myself, "Oh boy, this is exactly what I need." And I threw it in my truck, but I kept it. And I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad that I opened it up one day and started reading it. You know what? I've given some of my friends, since I got saved, I've given them Bibles. I mailed my brother when he was in prison. I mailed him a Bible. I think a Bible is better than a tract because it gives them the whole story. And I believe sometimes that, yes, you could get saved with a tract, and a lot of people have, and praise God for them. But I think a lot of times that somebody wants a little bit more than a piece of paper. I think somebody needs to know that you care for them, that you really care for them. Because, see, I've given tracts away to people, and they get mad at me, thinking that I'm better than them. That because I gave them a tract, I think that they're bad people. I think that we're all bad people. I think that we're all sinners. But I know that there's one that can change that. They could take their sins away from them. They could give them a life, and a life more abundantly. They could give them hope. They, just like in Psalm 126, that they were like them that dreamed again. when the Lord turned their captivity. When God saved me, it was that I had all the hope in the world. I felt clean. He had washed me white as snow. I had more energy. I could do more things, and I was just absolutely thrilled with the person. I was in love with the person who loved me. 2 seconds or 30 minutes before then, all I wanted to do was die. I wanted Jesus to take me to heaven the minute I said that prayer. The minute He saved me, I wanted to go because I had all of this world that I needed and that I wanted. I didn't want no more of it. But you know what? Now that I've been saved for almost 12 years, I find myself wanting the things of this world. I want a brand new truck. I don't want just a brand new truck. I want a brand new Ford truck. I don't want a brand new Ford truck. I want a King Ranch. I want a four-wheel drive. I want it to be a three-quarter ton. I want all these things. And sometimes I'll focus more on the things of this world than on the person who created this world. Some things I want to seek those that are lost, and sometimes I want to seek my own. I think the true great men of God really dedicated their life to God, their whole life. And they crossed over that fence. And they said, you know what, God, more than anything in the world, I want to please You. Even if it means my life. I want to live for You. I want to do all these things for You. It doesn't matter what You do for me. I don't want anything anymore. All I want is You. And that's, according to Oswald Chambers, is total abandonment. Total surrender. And I know that my messages here lately have been on going to people who are lost and going out and witnessing and stuff. And I believe that the minute we all get out and go to witnessing and start living for God, my messages will change. Maybe it'll just change when I do all these things that I'm preaching about. But Lester Roloff said, I'm not going to bring my preaching down to my practicing, but I'm going to try to bring my practicing up to my preaching. Because if you're going to preach, you're going to preach out of this Bible. And you're going to preach God's Word. I don't have any long, great messages. I know that most people go to sleep when I start talking. But I know one thing. That I've listened to 3 funerals this past week of 3 great men of God. And all 3 of them dedicated their lives to save the lost. All 3 of those men dedicated their life to Jesus Christ. All of them, when they died, Jesus came in and said, "Come in, thou faithful, good and faithful servant." All of them stepped over the fence and never went back. Sometimes in our lives, I don't know if you've ever... I'm not going to say this story. I started to tell you a story. It was bad. It was a true story. It happened to me. But I'm not going to say that. Because that was the old man. We need to put off the old man. Amen. And sometimes that's hard for us to do. Our flesh will tell us that we don't need to go and witness to people. Our flesh will tell us that we don't have enough time. Our flesh will tell us that, look, they're going to get saved anyway if you believe the Calvinist. And the Calvinist is wrong. If the Calvinist was right, Jesus wouldn't have told the disciples go. Why did Jesus want to start the church if everybody was going to get saved, it was going to get saved? Why did Jesus go to the cross if everybody was going to get saved, it was going to get saved? I'm so thankful that I could look back and see that God was putting people in my life to point me to Him. I wished that I would have got saved sooner. Everybody does. But I'm so thankful I got saved. I'm so thankful that tomorrow is my funeral. That I'm going to take some sheaves with me. But I'm so sad that I'm not going to take as many as I should. I'm so sad that I haven't done the things that God wanted me to do, that I said no in my flesh to the things that He told me to do. But you know what? If we have a tomorrow, we could change things today. And I'm privileged to get to go to these pastor fellowships and all these meetings and then the Youth Ablaze and all these things and be around other preaching and be around other pastors and stuff and get encouraged. And it's so you leave those meetings and you're like on fire and you get in the world the next day and your flesh jumps up and... But I prayed to God up there at Youth Ablaze that it just wouldn't last a few days. That I would really dedicate my life to Him. That I would do something for God. And you know what? Each and every one of us could do that. Each and every one of us could be a Lester Roloff in our own minds, our own ways. He helped so many people. Every one of us could be a Jack Hiles and lead many to Christ and have preacher boys all over this country. And we, all of us could be a Billy Graham and tell everybody we meet, no matter who they are, no matter how great or small they are, that Jesus loves you. And the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You see, we make this thing a difficult thing. All I know is I'm so glad for the people that goeth forth. I'm so happy for the people that went and told somebody that, hey, there's a hope. If you're still alive, there's hope. God could take a mind that is just messed up and give it, just make it anew. When I first got saved, I could barely read. Some of you think I could barely talk sometimes. But I could read now. And I could tell somebody about Jesus. It doesn't take a college education to tell a drunk and a drug addict that there's hope. That you don't have to live this way anymore. That God could take that from you. It doesn't take somebody who's been to college to say, you know what? I know a man named Jesus who can change your life. He changed mine. So, I'm sorry my messages are all the same thing just about. But I think each and every one of us fail miserably as somebody who goes forth. And I don't know if just handing somebody a track is what Jesus really wants. I think somebody, Jesus really wants us to tell them, to get to know them, to say, hey, I'm praying for you. Is there anything I could do for you? That guy that I talked to in Walmart all the time, when I first started talking to him, he barely had anything to say to me. I'm going to keep on saying hello. I'm going to build a relationship with him where I could walk up to him one day and say, you know what? I've never told you this. I'm sorry I've never told you this, but I want to tell you a story of my life. I was a drunken drug addict. And one day a cousin bought me a Bible. And I said, oh boy, that's exactly what I need. And 13 months after they gave me that Bible, I picked it up and started reading it. And I went to church and I got saved. And God took the alcohol and the drugs away from me. He took my sins away from me. He washed me clean. And He'd do the same thing for you. I don't think that's too much to ask of each and every one of us. So, I think each and every one of us needs to fall in love with a story. I think we all have. But we need to fall in love with telling the story. And you know what? I used to work with drunks and drug addicts every day of my life. I don't work with drunks and drug addicts every day of my life. I can't rest on that to say, hey, I've got some sheaves with me. I'm going to take them. You see, God's given me a day today. And I meet people every day. Even if I stay here in Dresden, I go by people every day. And I could tell them the story. It's not what I used to do. It's what I'm doing now. God gives us a day. You know, we talk about the Apostle John. And we also talk about how he took care of Jesus' mother. And how he lived a long life. I think another reason he lived a long life is because he really loved Jesus. And he loved to tell the story. In fact, we got Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and we got the Gospel of John. You know, Paul loved to tell the story. I don't know about you. I don't think that I'm going to have a great big mansion in heaven. I just want to be up in heaven. I'm going to heaven. I know that. I've got some sheaves I'm taking with me, and I want to take a lot more with me. I want to do a lot more for Jesus. And it has nothing to do with anybody else but me. If I'm going to get over the fence and say, God, I don't want no more of that world. I'm not seeking what I want anymore. I want to seek you, and I want to please you with my life. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 8:29, John 8:29. I wished it was 7:29 because that's my birthday, 7:29. And it's all about 7:29, but it really ain't. It's about 8:29. It's Jesus talking, and he says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I want to please God. I fail at that miserably every day, but I want to please God with my life. You know, he gave me a promise that he's never going to leave me or nor forsake me. And he's going to love me no matter what happens in my life. The best thing I could do for him was to love him back. And I'm sending my aunt a picture of me and Debbie on our wedding day. You know, I love my wife. And I tell everybody back home I'm married to a beautiful woman because I love her. How much more do I love that man up there that saved my life?
Come on, brother.
And I failed miserable at it. I don't want it to be just when I'm at church. I don't want it to be when I'm at a meeting. I want people to know that I love Jesus. And that Jesus can change their life. So I need to get off that fence. And I need to dedicate my life to God. And we all need that. Because one day it's going to matter. One day I'm going to stand before Jesus and all those things that I was supposed to do that I didn't do. I'm going to hold account. I'm going to be accountable for that. And it's not going to be no, oh, I know, it's okay. No, it's going to be accountable. You see, our God is a loving God, but he's a just God. And those things that we're supposed to do here and we don't because of our flesh, because of all the things of this world that we're trying to seek, or everything, all the excuses in the world, we are not going to have any excuses. Just like somebody that rejects Christ and goes to hell, they're going to have all the excuses in the world, but they're not going to matter. See, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not just the unjust, not the unsaved, but us too. And I want to hear, thou good and faithful servant. I want to do what God wants me to do. Why is it so hard for me to do that sometimes? Because I'm on the fence. And I need to get off the fence. I think all of us are on the fence. And all of us need to get off the fence. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love towards us. Lord, I thank you for the people who went forth and tried to tell me about you. Lord, I thank you for your long suffering that one day I finally said, I need you, help me, save me. And for your love towards me, that you was long suffering. You reached down in that pit that I dug for myself and you pulled me out. Lord, there's a lot of people that's in walking distance of this church that need to be pulled out, that need to know about you. There's a lot of people in my family that still need to know about you. Lord, I thank you that you sent somebody to tell a drunk and a drug addict that there was hope, that there was a man that could save me. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would get off the fence, that we would say, Lord, take me, use me, do whatever you need to do to get me to get off the fence and dedicate my life to you. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
let's all stand and find a song we can sing here. And let's all turn to page 232. We'll just do one verse of this song. And if you got something you want to talk to the Lord about tonight, use the altar up here. And all right, Jeannie, if you'll start that one for me. Glory of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell me the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. On the last, tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Father, thank you for this service tonight. Thank you, Father, so much for our pastor being able to go up there and help out at Grace Baptist tonight. We just pray that you'd give them a safe trip home from up there. Thank you, Lord, for the meeting here. Thank you, Father, for that message we just heard. I pray you'd help us, Father, as we go through our daily walk tomorrow, that, Father, we think on some of these things today that we heard. Father, bless us, watch over us as we head home. Keep us safe on the road. Bring us back again next Wednesday night, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.